It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And I want to talk about a couple of things today that are kind of exciting for me. One of them, I made a trip to the cities and back this weekend, and it's a trip, you know, forward in time and then backward in time. But one of the things that I noticed just before I left, and actually when I returned, is the startling array of green. And there are a couple of weeks every year where the colors are so intense, so overwhelming to the senses, that it's almost hard to kind of categorize them and actually, take them all in. And this is that time for this area, from, say, Brainerd coming north up to the border. This is the time of year when the colors are absolutely stunning. The aspens are well leafed out now, almost fully leafed out. And so they are a certain solid sort of a green. But if you're looking at a white oak and that pale sage green that comes with a white oak, or the red oak, which has a red tinge to it, it's green, but it's got this red color. Or if you're looking at like balsam poplars, which are also sort of reddish, kind of orangey green, they're just everything. Every plant has its own sort of signature color, and now is the time of year to really just take it all in, and don't worry about identifying any of them. Just enjoy the colors that they are manifesting. It is unbelievable out there right now, just absolutely gorgeous. I could go on and on, but I won't. All I would say is, this morning as you're driving to work or from work or wherever you happen to be, just stop and take in some of those green colors and truly enjoy them, because they are absolutely magnificent. And for those of you that are feeding birds, this is the time of year when occasionally and in some locations, scarlet tanagers, indigo buntings, goldfinches, just a myriad of birds that are not green are going to show up at your feeder. Ed Dallas from Deerwood sent along this list of birds that he had seen at his feeder in the last several days, and they included indigo buntings and scarlet tanagers, a cardinal, rose-breasted grosbeaks, goldfinches, purple finches, blue jays, ruby-throated hummingbirds, and orioles. And those are all just coming to his various feeders in his yard. And for a brief period every spring, orioles, scarlet tanagers, and indigo buntings will come to your feeders. The other birds in that list are pretty common visitors, but the indigo buntings and the scarlet tanagers, until things get going in the woods, they tend to, they will visit feeders and avail themselves of some easy food. And this is the time of year to watch for that. And I would add to that list, I had the great pleasure, the great good fortune this past week to have a pair of evening grosbeaks show up at my bird feeder. And I have not seen evening grosbeaks for many, many, many years. These, you're familiar right now with the rose-breasted grosbeak, that black and white bird and the big red rose breast that the male has. The female is brown, kind of drab. She has a white line kind of from the beak going through the eye, and she looks a lot like the female purple finch, but the rose-breasted grosbeaks are common at the feeder. I guess the thing that I would tell you about the evening grosbeak is that the same stout beak that you see on the rose-breasted grosbeak exists on the evening grosbeak. The evening grosbeak males are black, white, and yellow, and the females are a little bit toned down from that, and they're not quite as starkly colored, but they definitely have a sort of an overview of yellow on them. This past week, in fact, last Tuesday, I was talking to you about Juneberries and said that they were going to bloom this week, and they bloomed last Tuesday. I saw my first flowers. That was 9 days late. We're still running behind on a lot of plants, and the Juneberry is now the predominant plant in flower. There are I saw wild plums blooming this week. In some areas, not necessarily here, my experience hasn't been that the wild plums were blooming before the Juneberries, but I did see wild plums last week that were in bloom. That's probably the American plum. We have Canada plum and American plum here in the north part of Minnesota. And if you are seeing white flowers today, chances are they are Juneberries or wild plums. Now, those would be the sort of individually flowered plants. The red elderberry has white flowers on it as well. But if you get up close, you'll see that these are sort of, I've forgotten the botanical term, but it's a cluster of white flowers, tiny white flowers, like quarter of an inch or so across, and dozens of them in a clump. And you'll see these clumps of white stacked on the bushes, and those are the red elderberries. And those are 9 to 10 days late over their average bloom dates. So check those out as well. Pin cherries, I don't have pin cherries blooming at my house. The buds are there, but they are not blooming yet. It's possible that some of the plants that I'm passing on the road as I drive to and fro are pin cherries, but I think my general observations over the years have indicated that it is usually plums and Juneberries, pin cherries, and then choke cherries in that order for white flowers, for individual large white flowers. So I suspect that what you're seeing now are mostly Juneberries or plums. And if you get out and look at them, the differences, first of all, the Juneberry is well leafed out by the time it flowers. The plum, not so much. Maybe the leaves are not as fully developed. The Juneberry leaves are folded in half like a book, and they open along the mid-vein. So check out the leaf. If you find some that are still folded shut, or you find some that are beginning to open but are not fully opened, you'll see that book-like closure of the leaf of the Juneberry. That's not the case for the plum. And plums have thorns. Not violent skin-ripping thorns, but thorns. You wouldn't walk through a thicket of plums without some protection or some trepidation. It would be not a wise thing, not a good place to go. So that's your Juneberry and your wild plum, if you have them. This time of year, I like to tie a little bit of tape on them so I can see them and know where they are and come back and try and get a hold of them when their fruits are ripe. The interesting thing about Juneberries, and I probably have said this enough times that you all are going to repeat after me, but the interesting thing about Juneberries is that they are synchronous flowering plants, so that when they bloom, when a plant blooms, they all bloom. They all bloom at once. And so you're going to see this tree. One day it'll have no flowers, and the next day it'll be just covered in flowers. And the interesting thing about that is, even though they all bloom at once, they fruit asynchronously. So they fruit like, okay, that one's ripe, and now that one's ripe, and a day later that one is ripe, and then that one is ripe. And this asynchrony is valuable for the birds that are coming in and eating the berries, because, you know, a berry or two is a pretty good meal for something as small as a bird. A berry or two for you or I just whets our appetite. We want more. And so we're looking at the berries and going, oh, you know, in a couple of days, these are all going to be ripe, and I'm really going to have a feast. I'll make a pie. But that's not what happens, because the robin is in there and she's having one today, and then she's having one, you know, 2 hours from now she's having another, and then she comes back in the afternoon and gosh, there's another ripe one and she eats that one. And so the robin is constantly sort of picking the ripe berries off the plant, and you're waiting for them all to get ripe and she's eating the ripe ones as they show up, and the result is that you don't get any June berries or very few, and the robin gets the majority. So what I do at my house is I throw a net over the tree so that the birds can't get to the berries, because they will definitely eat them if they can get to them. They like them just the way you and I do. So watch the June berries and watch as they develop into fruits. But once they get fruited, you got to do something. You got to cover them up and get ready, because the birds are going to be there eating them. First flowers on the red elderberry, I think I said 9 to 10. The record is 13 days late for first flowers on red elderberry. Dandelions, I saw my dandelions in seed today. You know what else? Speaking of the greens, so you've been looking at these aspen trees in your yard, and you had kind of assumed, since the main aspens leafed out, the trembling aspens leafed out on the 8th of May, which, by the way, was 10 days late. And you've been watching the other aspens in your yard and thinking, what's wrong with those? Are they dead? And right now, they have these pale, pale green leaves on them. You're going to think, when you first see them, you're going to think they're almost white. Those are the big tooth aspens. And they are leafing out. They began to leaf out last week, probably around Friday or Thursday. I saw my first buds beginning to break. Now they're quite noticeable and quite sage green. And it's a different species of aspen, has a different phenology. Typically, the time between the first budding of the, or the first leaf break on the trembling aspen and the first leaf break on the big tooth aspen in an average spring is 21 days. When you take a spring like the one we're having, which is cold and kind of slow to develop, the dates get compressed. And if you get a year where it's really cold and then bang, you get this switch from cold to warm, like last year, it was 9 days last year. Instead of being 21, it was 9 days last year. This year, it was the 23rd or 22nd. And if I take 8 from there, I get 14. So it was a week compressed on what it would normally be. Normally, it would be 3 weeks. This year, it was 2 weeks from the time that the trembling aspen leafed out and then the big tooth aspen leafed out. Lilacs are in bloom all over the Twin Cities. Here in Grand Rapids, the lilacs are just beginning to show flower buds. You can see that the flower buds are there, and I would think that before we talk again next week, it will be probably the lilacs will have bloomed. So keep an eye on your lilacs and watch to see what happens to them. Fawns are being born. White-tailed deer fawns are being born. So now if you come to school as a school kid and you say, we saw a fawn, you probably are telling the truth. You could see a fawn. Those spotted little critters are out and moving around. And so, get out and keep an eye out for them. And remember, if you're going to hit a deer, hit a fawn. It does a lot less damage to your car, and it's just one less deer. I didn't mean that. Don't hit the deer at all if you can help it. I saw a beautiful male northern harrier yesterday, and of course they've been back for a while, but it was still pretty and a lot of fun to check that out. The final note I have, I'm going to leave you with for this week. There are lots and lots of notes I haven't covered because there's a lot going on out there right now, but one of the things you're going to see if you're driving by a bog today is tussock cottongrass gone to seed. You're going to start to see these little white fluffs, little clumps of white, looks like cotton, and these are clumped. And that makes them tussock cotton grass. That's the first of the cotton grasses that grows up and goes to seed here in northern Minnesota. So as you're driving by the bogs today, those especially that are quite acid, you'll see clumps of cotton in the bog, and those are tussock cotton grass. Keep your eyes open. Have a good day, have a good week, and we will talk again next week.